thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
We begin tonight. It's going to be a great time as we spend the next few minutes just talking about kind of God's glory above all. And this is not the first time necessarily that we will have heard anything like this, but we are kind of looking at some stories of praise in the storm. I just kind of in flipping through the news and so forth, when the Olympics come on, NBC is just kind of our channel of choice. It just kind of stays there, and we just kind of camp out there at the Olympics, and it's almost like an escape, and any news that I kind of find or filter, it comes in through my iPad or on my phone or checking the computer or something like that. But rarely does our TV ever get changed to anything like the news during the Olympics. We're just kind of Olympic fanatics, but I love that. But and looking at kind of some of the headlines, if you look very long, you could easily be discouraged. Top story, talking about the opportunity and the necessity that we have to block Iran nuclear action. There was a story actually last week that came on. I don't know if you saw it, but a story of the first good story about computer hacking that I've heard in a long time for positive. But somebody had actually hacked into the computers of Iran's nuclear facility and installed a virus on those computers that once they started, when it came to be midnight, all the computers in Iran's nuclear facility would begin blaring an AC/DC song and would not stop. And so I it was surprising to me that was the first computer hacking story for good that I've heard in a long time. But we have an imminent threat in the country of Iran, as they have nuclear facilities and that they are very much targeting America. Also, you probably would have had to have been hiding under a rock for you not to have understood in the last several days the story of the shooter there in Aurora, Colorado, and the hurt and pain that happens there after that movie theater premiere massacre, and just the evil that you see in a story like that. Israel ready to fight over Syria chemical weapons. U.S. intelligence predicts that a poverty plummet in the next couple of decades. Cops find one of America's most wanted there in Florida. A conversation between a teenager and a taxi cab driver. Actually, the taxi cab driver listens to this teen explaining some things and then goes to the police and tells the story, and the police managed to seize a whole bunch of weapons from this teenager. He's outlining and detailing to his taxi cab driver a plot to use these weapons to harm many people at the same time. And there is an arrest made in that. An Arkansas man sentenced to death for killing a cop. And we just look time after time at these headlines that just proclaim such doom. And I tell you, even inside our church life, we've got friends that we talk to who are discouraged in their ministry. I've never been in a season of ministry where I've heard the word cancer so much. It just seems to be so prevalent among folks nowadays. I just hear cancer over and over and over again. I've never been in a season of ministry where I've heard the word divorce so much in the church. And those are just heartbreaking issues. And so we live in this fallen world. And if we let it, if that's what we focus on, man, it can so easily implode inside of our hearts and bring us to a point of despair. But in all of that and through all of that, I believe that God wants us to praise Him in and through the storms. We're going to look at a few examples tonight. If you'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Job, we will begin in Job. You know the story of Job. In Job chapter 1, it opens that there was a man in the country of Uz named Job. He was a man of perfect integrity who feared God and turned away from evil. It goes on to tell us that his estate included 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large number of servants. Greatest man in all the people of the East. He's got these children. And on in chapter 1, we just come to this part in Job's life where Job is just simply sitting there. Verse 13, it says, One day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and reported, while the oxen were plowing and the donkeys grazing nearby, the Sabians swooped down and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. I'm the only one that made it out of this massacre. He was still speaking, which means his sentences weren't even done. His story wasn't even done. When another messenger came and reported, a lightning storm struck from heaven. It burned up the sheep and the servants and devoured them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. I'm the only one that made it out of the lightning storm. That messenger was still speaking. He was still telling the horrific story when yet another came and reported, the Chaldeans formed three bands, made a raid on the camels, and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I'm the only one who made it out to tell you. He was still speaking when another messenger came and reported, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on the young people so that they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you. I don't know of a person who's had a bad day equivalent to Job's. What, his first messenger is still telling the story when the second messenger comes in, gives horrific news. He is telling his story when a third messenger comes in and gives horrific news. He is telling his story and a fourth messenger comes in and gives horrific news. And basically everything that Job has is completely lost. Look what it says. Then Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshiped. What an odd, atypical response to what has happened up to this point. Saying, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Did you sing that earlier tonight? Praise the name of Yahweh. Throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. There is no worse day than what Job had. Waking up in the morning on top of the world, having everything, and throughout the course of his day, all of it being ripped from his estate in a handful of what seems like minutes. Messengers were not even completing their stories before the next bad news was coming in. And yet Job says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Praise the name of Yahweh. Is it easy? Of course not. It never has been. It will continue to be a difficult thing. But the Lord calls us to give glory to Him above all else. Over in Job chapter 42, Job had prayed for his friends. The Lord restored his prosperity and doubled his previous possessions. So the Lord, verse 12, blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the earlier. He owned 14,000 sheep compared to the 7,000 before, 6,000 camels compared to half that, 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had seven sons and three daughters. And verse 15 says that no women as beautiful as Job's daughters could be found in all the land. and their father granted them an inheritance. With their brothers, Job was able to live 140 years after and saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. The last verse in that chapter says, then Job died old and full of days. Job praised God in the storm, giving him glory above all else, and was blessed. Another story that we see there in the Old Testament, one that we talked about this week at camp in Daniel chapter 3. An interesting thing happens there. Daniel is in a situation with his friends there, and the king has now built a golden statue. Nebuchadnezzar has built this humongous statue, and the order is that when you hear the music, you bow to the statue. And in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar asks the men, he tells them, already they've gotten in trouble because they did not bow as they were supposed to. And then in chapter 3, verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar asked them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. Side note, he didn't really build that. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Verse 16, where we join in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, similar to Job's word, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Praise the name of Yahweh. If the Lord saw fit to take away all that I had, so be it. I came into the world naked, I'll leave the world naked. Even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story, that they are bound, that they are taking to the fiery furnace that is hotter than normal, that the men who take them could not even withstand the heat. They go into the fiery furnace, and alarmed Nebuchadnezzar looks at them and says, didn't we throw these three guys in, and now I see four, and the fourth is like a son of the gods? They come out, and their clothes don't even smell like smoke. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Lord is going to rescue us. And even if he doesn't, we will praise him. Take our life, burn us up, turn us from flesh and bone into ash, but we will praise him. We move on closer toward the New Testament, the book of Habakkuk. Don't pass it. It's only three chapters. You can go to Matthew and back up. Habakkuk is a prophet in a weary time. He comes to a point that many might even call depression. You see, the people that God has given to Habakkuk to give his message to them, they have now turned to their own ways. The people of Judah are no longer a holy people. They are now a self-centered, egocentric people who are now worshiping idols, and they are abandoning the principles of God. And Habakkuk sees that the people of God have now turned toward their evil ways, and they are a wicked people deserving God's judgment. But Habakkuk's trouble is that God's judgment comes through another wicked people. It doesn't come through a righteous people. It comes through the Babylonians who were taking over the land right there. And Habakkuk becomes real depressed because he says, I understand that your people, God, are wicked and they deserve your judgment and we want them to turn back to you. But by golly, couldn't you use somebody who is righteous? Why did you have to use an evil people to teach evil people a lesson? Why do you have to use a wicked people to turn around wicked people? And Habakkuk becomes very discouraged and he prays to the Lord and the Lord answers him. And Habakkuk goes through and in chapter 2 he goes through these five woes. And Habakkuk prays to God again. And he understands that judgment is coming. He hears it. Chapter 3, verse 16, he says, I heard and I trembled within. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled where I stood. Now I must quietly wait for the day of distress to come against the people invading us. God promises that the people who are coming to teach you a lesson, they will be dealt with in their own time. They will receive judgment and their kingdom will be torn to the ground. But first, I'm going to deal with my people. And Habakkuk then says, as we join him there in chapter 3, verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in Yahweh. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. If you've ever gone through the devotional, Hinds Feet on High Places, that's where the title comes from. Habakkuk faces a very desperate situation that he and the rest of that nation are about to come under attack. Yes, they are evil. Yes, they are wicked. Yes, they have turned to their own ways and they're about to be taken over by a nation who has done the very same thing. They are just as wicked, if not more so. They are not just evil. They are more evil. And yet he comes to a point in his life where he understands that God gets the glory above all. And though our land becomes desolate and barren and a wasteland, the Lord God is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. A couple of things we need to remember. This is going to be truth. You know, it's one of those things where it's so evident, you almost feel idiotic saying it. It's so profound, it's almost preposterous. But the truth is, bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to good people. But the best things happen to God's people. Job would have said again, he said at one point, we read in Scripture that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There is no distinction there. Bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to good people. But the best things are reserved for God's people. Galatians, Paul would have said it like this. Galatians chapter 6. So we must not get tired of doing good. Is it easy to? Absolutely. In the world that we live in, doing good is fatiguing because it rarely gets returned. For we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. Look at what he also would have said. He said, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. He would have told Timothy, for this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. That's why I've suffered everything that I've suffered. But I am not ashamed, because I know the one I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Paul is choosing to praise through the storm. Take a moment when you get a chance to look through Paul's list of everything that has happened to him. He says, I've been imprisoned, I've been shipwrecked, I've been stoned, I've been chased out of the country, I've been threatened. Everything that could have possibly happened to Paul as an apostle of Christ Jesus happened to Paul. And yet, he made a choice to give glory to God above all else. Things that we have to know. I'm going to give all my points right here, okay? Every one of them. God works his purposes in his time. The writer of Ecclesiastes said there is a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. And that's easy to say when we're not in the storm. It's easier to say outside of the storm. But the truth is the truth. God works his purposes in his time. Why? We could not fathom his entire plan all at once. I don't know what the... I've never heard a good comparison of our finite mind to God's infinite power. There's no comparison. We can use half analogies on this earth, but there is no comparison between our finite mind and God's infinite power. But the truth of it is that we could never fathom his entire plan all at once. We would never be able to process it. It would be far too much for us. We must rely on him to reveal his plan piece by piece as he sees fit. The truth of it is, the most godly of beings is still too human to have the whole thing laid in their lap. The godliest of human beings is still too human to have God's entire plan for their life be laid out in their lap. We must rely on him to reveal his plan piece by piece as he sees fit. And we must know his way is best. You have to place your hope in that. In the most hopeless of situations, you must know that God's way is best. Job would have said, I came here naked, I'll leave here naked. Praise God. His ways are best. And even when his friends encouraged him to curse God and put an end to it all, he refused and praised God in the midst of the storm. Daniel, in making his choice in Daniel chapter 1, knew that the king could become very enraged by him not choosing his food and his wine. And yet he stood up for what he believed in, and he would not defile his body by eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. In chapter 3, they're faced with bowing down to a statue or standing up for what is right. For God, even if he does not rescue us, if our bodies turn to dust, we will praise him in the midst of this storm. Habakkuk, his country has become evil and wicked and turned against God. And they are facing imminent danger from a country far more wicked and far more evil. And Habakkuk says, though the land becomes barren, though all the sheep and all the cattle disappear, we have no livestock, though we become a wasteland, praise God in the midst of this storm. knowing that God's way is best, will be our beacon of hope in each and every situation. Trusting in God through the storm may not change your circumstance or situation, but it will certainly change your perspective, knowing that there is a divine and master plan in place. As we close tonight, knowing that God's glory above all is our aim, that praising Him even in the midst of the storm is what He desires for us to do, I want to close with a video. I want us to join the Mooney family on their journey with little Elliot. For just the next few moments, will you watch Elliot's story unfold?
Dear Elliot, right now you are 2 months from being born. We just found out that you have trisomy 18, also called Edwards syndrome. Doctors tell us that you won't likely make it to birth. Your mom and I are praying against that. We're praying for healing. We are praying for nothing less than a miracle. You're our first child, and the day of your birth couldn't come sooner. Dear Elliot, you were born today weighing in at 6 pounds. You are already a miracle to us. Your mom is doing well, and it looks like we'll be hanging out here at the hospital a little longer. Dear Elliot, today you turned 11 days old. We are so proud of you. Today we celebrated your 11th birthday. In fact, we do that every day at 4:59, the time you were born. Dear Elliot, we've been home for a week now, so that's why you don't see your nurses anymore. It's great to have you home. Today I think we'll pack up everything and take our first venture out for coffee. Dear Elliot, I don't know if you've noticed, but you're connected to some tubes. The doctors say we have to keep these in so you can get oxygen to breathe. You are also fed through a feeding tube. We feed you every 3 hours and it takes an hour and a half to do it. We've loved learning how to best take care of you. We love it. Lots of people email, call, and send cards on your behalf. You're well loved. It's 11 at night right now and my feeding shift has just begun. Mom is asleep and the best part of my day has begun. My shift ends around 4:45 a.m. when your mom takes over. She cherishes her mornings with her boy. Today you turn 1 month old. I didn't know if I'd ever get to say that. To top off the day, 20 friends showed up at the door for a true surprise birthday party for you. They sang, brought balloons, and a birthday cake. It was beautiful chaos. At 2 a.m. this morning, your feeding tube came out. We had been warned this may happen eventually. We quickly realized we did not have a stethoscope, which was necessary to replace the tube. Since our neighbor was a nurse, I went ahead and knocked on their door at 2:30 a.m. They found their stethoscope, and your mom went to it. After much wrestling, praying, and your tears, the tube was down, and you were able to feed. Just so you know, your mom is my hero. Dear Elliot, you now weigh 7 pounds 3 ounces. You're growing, and your food has been bumped up because of your good appetite. You continue to find new ways to steal our hearts. Dear Elliot, today marks 2 months of your life. Your mom and I are so thankful we know you. We know your face, your noises. We know that bath time and massage are your favorite daily activity. You finally learned how to suck your thumb by yourself. Because of trisomy 18, you were born with clenched fists, and being able to do this is actually quite difficult. Way to go, son. Dear Elliot, we celebrate your birthday every day with a picture. Lately, we've tried to get a bit more creative. Dear Elliot, I realize you can get frustrated with your tubes and your frequent congestion. Please know that your mom and I are doing everything we can to make you comfortable. Dear Elliot, well, you tipped the scales today at 8 pounds, 14 ounces. Quite an accomplishment. You also have managed to grow a pretty decent mullet. Dear Elliot, we all got to go to a reunion at the hospital. I've never seen your mom more happy. The joy she felt getting to show off her son can't be described with words. In fact, she compared it to the way a mother would feel when her son becomes president or wins a Heisman or develops a cure for cancer. The logic of medicine says you shouldn't be alive, but you are. You are such a fighter. Dear Elliot, you have now passed the 3-month mark. You also got your first cordless pictures taken today. No feeding tube, oxygen, or stickers. This was no small accomplishment, but we got it done. Have I told you lately that we are so proud of you? Dear Elliot, today you went to be with Jesus. An underdeveloped lung, a heart with a hole in it, and DNA that placed faulty information into each and every cell of your body could not stop God from revealing himself through a child who never uttered a word. Not a pulpit, not a slick presentation, not a best-selling book, but a 6-pound boy with trisomy 18. God found great pleasure to take a lowly thing in the eyes of the world and show truth. At your funeral, we released 99 balloons, each balloon representing a day of your life. How beautiful it was to watch. How quickly they were gone. And so today, we celebrate. Elliot, you are well. And although we miss you more than we can express, we're only separated from you by our time left on Earth. See you soon, son. Mom and Dad.
Gives and the Lord takes away. Praise Him. I don't know what your situation is or what you may be facing. All of us may not. It's been said before, and I've said it before, we're either in a storm or heading into a storm or heading out of a storm. Only God knows. But he calls us to be faithful to his praise. There are folks hurting all around us. Where we go to school, where we go to work, where we go to play, where we go to church. May we praise God in the storm and encourage others to do the same. May we be a church found faithful to him and his purpose, knowing that his purposes and his ways are always best. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for stories old and new. But thank you for your faithfulness despite the many times that we are unfaithful. Lord, you give us challenges. May we rise to meet them. And in everything, may we praise you despite the circumstance or situation. It will not be easy, and we must put our hope in you. Knowing that we cannot see the whole plan, we couldn't even fathom it, but that you will give us the very next step we need to take, and it will be the best one for us. Thank you, God. As we continue tonight in the next few moments, may we respond as you would have us to respond, whether here at this altar, in the front of this worship center, whether it's there at our seat or ever so quietly in our heart, or maybe it's at the pillow on our bed tonight, that you will most loudly speak to our hearts. Wherever it is, and whatever we need to do, Lord, we give you freedom and liberty to do it now. May we respond as your people, called to your purposes, loving your plan for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this evening?